So good morning. I hope you all managed to get some rest last night or this morning. Just want to check the sound again. How is it? Okay for everyone? Okay for you? Great. Okay, yes.
There's no
application. No, this is just for recording.
Oh.
Yes, but if necessary, we do have an amp system. I'm just hoping to not have to use it. Okay, so last night I very briefly mentioned the Satipatthana Sutta, the key text for all of our insight practice, known as the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, and how all the different types of practice that we'll be doing over this retreat come from this core teaching. And one of the aspects of this text that I really appreciate is that it's a gradual training. It's progressive. It starts with fairly simple things to pay attention to, and then gradually these objects of awareness become more complex, more challenging. So for example, we start with the body. The body for most people is relatively straightforward, and then we gradually incorporate aspects of the mind, thoughts, emotions, moods, mind states, which for most people, are much more challenging to bring awareness to. And eventually, we include every aspect of our experience. There's really nothing that gets left out of this practice. So last night, I offered a very short meditation to help incline the heart and mind in the direction of calm, of stability, of settledness. And this is sometimes referred to as concentration or samadhi. But in English, this word concentration can sound like a kind of fixed or forced attention. And this actually gets in the way of developing true stability of mind. So over the next few days, we're going to be working with both these aspects of meditation, the sati, or mindfulness, and the samadhi, or stability, calmness of mind. And when these two come together, they really provide the optimum conditions for insight to arise. So this morning, I'm going to focus more on the mindfulness, or sati, aspect of the Buddha's teachings. And just to emphasize that in this context, mindfulness is really developed in the service of insight, the kind of clear seeing that leads to increasing ease and peace and freedom. And I know all of you here already have at least some understanding of mindfulness, but I want to explore some of the nuances of it, because these days it's becoming more and more mainstream. And often when things become mainstream, they lose some of their subtlety, some of their nuances. So a couple of years ago, when I Googled the word mindfulness, I got 17.5 million hits. But when I did it again recently, I got 35. So in the course of 2 years, there's this exponential interest in mindfulness. And in some contexts, mindfulness is presented almost as a kind of a cure-all for everything. We see it associated with just add mindfulness and your work productivity will improve, your cooking will improve, your stock market investing will improve, your tango dancing will improve. Not kidding, I've seen retreats, one retreat, this is my favorite, Tango with the Buddha. Zensuality registered trademark. So mindfulness is being incorporated into all of these different aspects of lives with the sense that you just wave this magic wand and hey presto, you'll live happily ever after or something. And that's not to say that mindfulness won't improve those things. But in the Buddha's teachings, these are byproducts of the practice. They're not the main goal. So here, we're doing something more than just calming the mind with mindful coloring books and so on. We're really using mindfulness in the service of wisdom. So mindfulness is the English translation of the Pali word sati, which literally means to remember. But it's to remember to be aware of what's happening now in the present moment. So just a few definitions of mindfulness from some of my favorite teachers. Gil Fronsdal, for example, he says mindfulness is the cultivation of clear, stable, and non-judgmental awareness. John Peacock, present moment recollection, present moment awareness. Or Sharon Salzberg and Joseph Goldstein, mindfulness means being aware of what is going on as it actually arises, not being lost in our conclusions or judgments about it, our fantasies of what it means, our hopes, our fears, our aversion. Rather, mindfulness means seeing nakedly and directly, this is what's happening right now. And in that phrase, seeing nakedly and directly, there's a flavor of intimacy. And I mention this because sometimes people misunderstand mindfulness as being somehow observing experience, being separate from it, even becoming distant or disconnected from it. But true mindfulness has this quality of getting closer to experience, becoming intimate with the full spectrum of experience. So the German scholar and monk practitioner Bhikkhu Anālayo, that some of you know of, he wrote his PhD on the Satipatthana Sutta, and it became a well-known book that some of you have probably read, Satipatthana, the Direct Path to Realization. And I've done some of Bhikkhu Anālayo's retreats and assisted him on retreat at IMS. So I know he speaks about 15 different languages. In addition to English and German, he and many European languages, he also knows Pali and Sanskrit and Chinese and Tibetan. So he's translated all these different varieties and versions of the suttas from different traditions and different languages. And I mention that because in spite of his vast understanding of the Buddha's teachings, and particularly the Satipatthana Sutta, he has managed to define mindfulness in just four words: keep calmly knowing change. That's it. If we can do that for this week, we're good. Keep calmly knowing change. And he even abbreviates that down to just four letters, KC, KC. So pretty simple. That's all we have to do this week. Keep calmly knowing change. And out of that, insight naturally arises. So we start with relatively simple aspects of our experience, with the body and the breath. And we start with the breath because, one, it's always available. Pretty obvious. If we're alive, we're breathing. So we can practice meditating on the breath anywhere at any time. Even right now, as you're listening to me, some part of your awareness can be present with the breath. And in this tradition, the breath, we're just with it however it is. We're not trying to make it be any particular way. It doesn't have to be long or smooth or anything like that. We're just knowing it exactly as it is. So we bring awareness to wherever the sensations of the breath are clearest for us. So for some people that's at the nostrils. For some it might be the upper chest. For some it might be down in the belly. It really doesn't matter from my perspective where you bring awareness to the breath, but that you do it wherever it's most clear for you. And I want to just mention that there are different ways that we can pay attention to the breath for slightly different purposes that have slightly different results. So one way that we can use the breath is to help calm the body, the heart, the mind. And when we practice with mindfulness of breathing in this way, we're strengthening this quality of samadhi, which, as I said, is usually translated as concentration, but that sounds too tight and forced. So I'm trying to use the word samadhi as samadhi and let you understand that samadhi refers to stability of mind, calmness, non-distractibility. And we can use the breath to help this by just bringing awareness to the gentle rhythm of the breath and resting there. So this would be using mindfulness of breathing in the service of samadhi. We can also use mindfulness of breathing in the service of sati or mindfulness by really paying attention to the nuances, the subtleties, the differences of each breath. Then we're really refining our insight practice, sharpening our mindfulness to see the constant flow of change. So I sometimes use an analogy that might be helpful to illustrate these two slightly different ways of working with the breath. If you think of a surfer, perhaps some of you have surfed, or at least like me, you've watched people surf. When a surfer is waiting to catch a wave, she's just resting on her board. And there's a natural rise and fall as the waves swell and subside. And she's quite relaxed. And she's simply knowing, rising and falling, rising and falling. That's it. When a wave comes that she wants to catch and she actually catches it, then her mindfulness becomes highly refined on the constantly changing sensations. So when she's riding the wave, she's supremely tuned in to the pressure of the water, the direction of the wave, the wind, the presence of other surfers, perhaps on the lookout for fins. There's a lot that she's really tuned into. And this is like using mindfulness of the breathing for insight. So the practical application of knowing which kind of breathing we're doing is that if we're really agitated and distracted, it can be helpful to focus on using the breath for calm and stability. So we might use the just the simple rhythm of the breath coming into the body and leaving the body as a way to help soothe and calm the mind and to develop some degree of stability or samadhi. On the other hand, there are times when the breath is just so calming and there's just this gentle rise and fall and we start to find ourselves getting a little bit too relaxed. So that might be an opportunity to zoom in a little and to investigate, okay, what am I aware of with the breath? To really notice temperature and texture and pressure and length and sensations of pushing and pulling and softening and releasing and so on. So we can zoom in and notice more of the details of the breath, and that sharpens the mind and raises a little more energy. So this morning I'm going to give some instructions that will help to orient the mind, the attention to the breath in these two slightly different ways. Okay, so let's just take a moment to settle into a sitting position.